السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And welcome to the mothers of the believers. In the last episode, if you remember, we began by speaking a little bit about the mother of the believers that we're speaking about today, and that is Zainab bint Jahsh رضي الله عنها. And Zainab bint Jahsh رضي الله عنها has an interesting story, the story of her marriage to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And it's a story in which there is a lot of lessons for the Muslims. Lessons dealing with marriage, lessons dealing with visitation, and very important ayat that were revealed. What were they? We'll find out in this episode when we begin, inshallah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, today we're speaking about the mother of the believers, Zainab bint Jahsh. And she is known as Zainab bint Jahsh, and her mother was Umayma bint Abdul Muttalib. So now you can see from the name of her mother here, she was the paternal aunt of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Umayma, the daughter of Abdul Muttalib. We have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of Abdullah, who is the son of Abdul Muttalib. So now that means Umayma bint Abdul Muttalib, the paternal aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the aunt of Zainab bint Jahsh that we're talking about today, which means obviously that she was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so now, of course, with being this close in relation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you expect a lot of great people in her family. So her mother's brothers were Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, the great warrior, the great martyr Hamza radiallahu anhu. There was Abdullah ibn Abbas, or Afwan, Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib, or Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. So everyone knows Al-Abbas, the famous uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was also her uncle. Her aunt, meaning her mother's sister, was Safiya, the daughter of Abdul Muttalib. And Safiya radiallahu anha, she is the mother of Zubair ibn Al-Awwam. And also Zubair, known as the disciple of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her brothers, Abdullah ibn Jahsh al-Asadi, and he was one of the first to hold a banner in Islam. He was one of the martyrs of Islam. And Abdullah ibn Jahsh was also one of the first Muslims who immigrated to Medina. And some narrations say that he was actually the first husband of Zainab bint Khuzaymah radiallahu anha, as we have discussed in the past, the mother of the believers. So in any case, we see that she comes from a great family. Obviously, she's from the Quraysh. And she had also her sister, very popular, Hamna bint Jahsh, one of the first Muslim women. She accepted Islam very early. So this is the family of Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. Now Zainab radiallahu anha, she was born in Mecca, and then she made the hijrah with the Muslims to Medina. And she wanted to get married, so she sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Who should I marry?" So basically, she wants to get married now, and she asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Who do you suggest that she would marry?" So now her sister, Hamna radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet ﷺ, and she's saying, "Zainab is asking you, who should she get married to?" So then the Prophet ﷺ suggested to her to marry Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha. So Hamna bint Jahsh, the sister of Zainab, she was so upset. She said, "You will wed your cousin to your Mawla." Because now Zainab, she's his cousin. You're going to let her marry your Mawla. Mawla is a freed servant or a freed slave. So Zayd ibn Haritha, he was a freed slave. So how could you, someone from the Quraysh and so on, a noble family, be wed to someone who is a freed servant? So that upset Hamna bint Jahsh, and it was said that Zainab was even more upset when they told her the suggestion. Because she came from the noblest families of the Quraysh, and she had high social status. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was, you know, he knows that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sight of Allah azza wa jal, that it's not this kind of status that is important, but it's the religiosity or the religion and the deen of someone that makes the difference. So he wanted her to marry the young man Zayd ibn Haritha. And the background of Zayd radiallahu anhu is very different from that of Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. So this is the story behind Zayd radiallahu anhu. Zayd had been taken prisoner while he was a child. This is during like an inter-tribal war during Jahiliyyah, before Islam. So he was kidnapped or taken as a child, even though he belonged to a noble family, his father was a nobleman. He was taken and sold as a slave, bought by a nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha. So then Khadija radiallahu anha, her nephew gave it to her as a gift, gave her Zayd ibn Haritha as a gift. In turn, Khadija radiallahu anha gave Zayd as a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they got married. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically had given him freedom and adopted him as his own son when he was around the age of 8 years old. So this is the story basically behind it. His father, Haritha, this is now we're talking about Zayd ibn Haritha. His father, Haritha, he couldn't accept the fact that his son would be sold like this, that he's sold into slavery while he's from a noble family with a noble and wealthy father. So he started to look for him everywhere. And when his father found him with the Prophet ﷺ, he came to buy him from the Prophet ﷺ. And then the Prophet ﷺ tells him that we were going to give Zayd a choice. He says, if he wants you, he will go with you. So what does that mean? The Prophet ﷺ is telling Haritha, the father of Zayd, we're going to ask the boy, if he wants to go with his father, he can go. I'm not even going to sell him to you. You see? This is from the generosity, because the father came offering to buy his boy back. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, if he wants to go with you, we won't, you know, no money involved, he'll go with you. And if he wants to stay, then he'll stay. So then the father agreed, because you would think that for sure, that boy is going to choose to go with his father as a free man. So here the father agrees, and they called Zayd. And then they gave him the choice to either go free as a noble and stay with his father, or stay as a servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then Zayd radiallahu anhu, this young, as a young boy back then, he gives a superb answer. He says, Wallahi la akhtar ala Muhammadin ahada. He says, Wallahi, I do not choose anyone over Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what does this say then about the treatment that he was getting from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he thinks that now to stay as a servant with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than to be free anywhere else? That means the treatment he's getting is better than even the treatment of when you get when you're a free person. So the father was upset, and he said, how could you say that? And then again he says that servitude with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was better than freedom with the rest of the world. Very strong sentences and a very strong testimony on the part of Zayd for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then the Prophet, what do you expect? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of his good and excellent manners, what do you think he would do here? He would just basically laugh at the father like he won? No. The Prophet ﷺ, out of his excellent manners, he announced that he has set Zayd free and that he is now his son. He adopted him as his son. And so the father was very pleased now, because he has a noble son, and the son now, he's been set free, and the father doesn't have to go home worrying that my son is still a servant, but the son did decide to stay with the Prophet ﷺ. And as we said, because the Prophet ﷺ adopted him, he became known as Zayd ibn Muhammad. So people who were there, they said that we did not call him Zayd ibn Haritha. We knew him as Zayd ibn Muhammad. But something happens, and then he became known as Zayd ibn Haritha. What happens, we're going to find out, inshallah, when we come back from the break. Assalamu alaikum, welcome back. We're talking about the incident with Zayd ibn Haritha. The Prophet ﷺ adopted him, and he became known as Zayd ibn Muhammad, to the point where the quote was that from his time, they said, we did not call him Zayd ibn Haritha, we knew him as Zayd ibn Muhammad. So of course, then what happens is that later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran,
ادعوهم لآبائهم هو أقسط عند الله,
that they should be only called by the names of their fathers, and so it was not allowed for anyone to rename or change the name of his father. And that's why he went back to being Zayd ibn Haritha, and that's why we know him now historically as Zayd ibn Haritha and not Zayd ibn Muhammad, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade that later on in the Quran. So this is the story behind Zayd ibn Haritha, and the Prophet ﷺ wanted Zaynab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, from the Quraysh, from this noble family, to marry his freed servant, or what was once considered his son. But see, so now when you understand the story behind Zayd radiallahu anhu, you start to see why the Prophet ﷺ regarded him as like almost like his own son, and that's why he offered him in marriage. Nonetheless, there was still the issue of a noble versus freed slave. So the Prophet ﷺ was aware of the importance, and Islam is also aware of the importance of, you know, the noble families and things of that sort. But the Prophet ﷺ also wanted to erase these borders, and that to show and to teach everyone that religion comes before everything else. And one of the best ways to teach is on your own family. And unlike, yani, this is the mark of a good leader versus a not so good leader. The good leader always does everything, implements everything on himself or his family or his home first, and then he asks everyone else to follow suit. Or the bad leader is the one who always asks other people to make the change, but they don't even make the change themselves. So of course the Prophet ﷺ then had this happen, and if they're going to erase the boundaries and borders and nobility versus religion, the first experiment, or any the first attempt, will be in the family of the Prophet ﷺ, or people close to the Prophet ﷺ. So of course it's always difficult when these things are done for the first time. So Zainab radiallahu anha and her family, they were really shocked at the idea of marrying her, or her marrying a man who is, in their eyes, someone who used to be a freed slave or a freed servant. So at first she was not pleased, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following ayah in the Quran.
وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا.
Allah is saying, it is not for a believing man or a believing woman that when a matter has been decided by Allah and His Messenger, to have any say in the decision. So that means for no believing man or woman, if Allah and His Messenger decide something, they shouldn't have any say in the decision, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has most clearly gone astray. So before we move on from this verse, I'd like to stress a couple of things here. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the matter has been decided by Allah and His Messenger. You see? So it's not just by Allah, but you have to also obey the Prophet ﷺ. And that's why whoever disobeys Allah, in the end of the ayah, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, not just Allah. So obedience to the Prophet ﷺ is mandatory, and it's asked for by the Quran. It's commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many, many places in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal will say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. And also in Surah An-Nisa.
مَن يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ وَمَن تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا.
Whoever obeys the Messenger, he has indeed obeyed Allah. And that's why it's very important to point this out, because today people think it's like a game. You know, if they want to follow the Sunnah, they can do it, and if they want to leave it, they can leave it. But of course, not all of the Sunnah is one same level. Some things the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to do, we have to do it. So, because the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tells us to obey him so many times in the Quran. In any case, when this ayah was revealed, after these ayat were revealed, of course Zainab radiallahu anha accepted, Zayd accepted, and everybody, even her family, accepted, whether they saw it as a good match or not. And this is of course how the Muslim is, and this is what the word Muslim means. Because Muslim is the one who has submitted to Allah. So you can't be a non-submitting submitter. It doesn't make sense, a non-submitting Muslim. So to be a Muslim, you have to submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do. Unlike again today. Today, if someone, you know, you might give someone an ayah and they won't accept it. You give them an authentic hadith, they won't accept it. Tell them this is from the Quran. They tell you, well, maybe there's a different interpretation, maybe that's your understanding. So now these excuses, an ayah, a clear ayah from the Quran, tell, oh, maybe there's a different interpretation. So look, if the Quran didn't have any specific meaning, then what would be the value of the Quran as a book of guidance? So that means when Allah says something in the Quran, we obey. If Allah says stop, you stop. He says go, you go. But of course today, people go under old interpretations. Oh, well, that was for that time period. We're living in a different era now. And of course, there's a famous fatwa shopping. You find Allah made something haram in the Quran. Someone doesn't like that. So what does he do? They go out, they look for a fatwa. Some sheikh, it doesn't even have to be sheikh, anybody to tell them it's halal, and they're going to do it immediately. This is unfortunately how it is in our times, but that was not how it was during the time of Zainab radiallahu anha. The command came from Allah, they have no choice in the matter, and they submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. So they both accept immediately, and the Prophet ﷺ then provides or pays a nice dowry on behalf of Zayd. He pays it to Zainab radiallahu anha. And then she lived with Zayd radiallahu anha. They got married and then they lived together, but the relationship was not successful. And she saw him as not her equal. That was difficult for her because she saw that he wasn't her equal. And there wasn't love in the relationship. So the Prophet ﷺ, he used to wonder about this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they should get married like that. And he says, because it was obviously not a good match. Although both Zainab and Zayd were like of the most excellent of people and excellent Muslims, and they have piety and taqwa and iman, but at the same time, this success in a marital relationship is not just based on how religious they are. There are other factors and other things involved as well. So it's not just the fact that any two religious people, that means they're going to have the best relationship, but there are also other things, and sometimes, you know, people will not, let's say the personalities will not be compatible, and other issues. So then here, Zayd would come and ask the Prophet ﷺ's permission to divorce Zainab. And he would come more than once, he would come and ask the Prophet ﷺ that he would want to divorce Zainab radiallahu anha. And the Prophet ﷺ would always tell him, hold on to your wife and fear Allah. امسك عليك زوجك واتق الله. Hold on to your wife and fear Allah. Every time Zayd came and said, I want to divorce her, he would tell him, be patient, hold on to her and fear Allah. But inevitably in the end, the divorce did take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, especially the advice of the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ.
Hold on to your wife and fear Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Prophet ﷺ saying, وَتُخْفِي. And so basically here, that the ayah is saying, and if you say, meaning to the one, meaning to Zayd here, that hold your wife onto your wife and then fear Allah.
أمسك عليك زوجك واتق الله وتخفي في نفسك ما الله مبديه وتخشى الناس وتخشى الناس والله أحق أن تخشاه.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and you hide in your, you conceal in yourself what Allah is going to reveal, and you are like here, like kind of aware of the people being aware of it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or like you're shy or bashful of people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more deserving of being shy of. So then, فَلَمَّا, Allah Azza wa Jal continues in the verses.
فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ إِذَا قَضَوْا مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا.
That when Zayd was, basically the relationship was done between her and Zayd, we wed her to you. So pay attention to these wordings, we wed her to you. And then in that, in this wedding, then there will not be any like friction or issue in people's hearts about the ex-wives of what used to be their adoptive sons. We've come to the end of the segment. We're going to continue with this verse and what it means when we come back from the break, inshallah. So make sure you're here.
How you doing?
I can't believe you let him do this.
Why not? He can handle it.
I don't know, it's only his first time. So everybody's doing it. Yeah, man. Hey, everybody's got experience. You didn't have to, man. You don't look so good, man. I feel good. Yeah. <laughs> Hey, is he okay? Hey, what's wrong? Hey, we better pull over. What's going on back there? He's not breathing. Pull over, pull over.
Oh my god.
Okay, welcome back to the show. So we're still talking about Zayd and the wedding between Zayd and Zaynab radiallahu anhuma. We said that it ended in divorce. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallam that when Zayd was done with her, that we wed you to her. And in this way also, now people will not have any issues in the future about the divorce or the ex-wife or what used to be like something like their adopted son or something of that sort. Or someone on the in the level of a son, as long as it's not your actual biological son or stepson. So here, what happens? This is the lessons like that came out of this whole incident. First of all, it demonstrated that beyond any doubt that in Islam, an adopted son is not regarded in the same light as your natural or your biological son, and that although a father may never marry a woman that used to be, like for example, a father will never marry a woman that was married to his own son, his biological son. Even if, I mean, meaning his son divorced her, the father can never marry her again. But if it was used to be what an, it was an adoptive son or adopted son, then it's permitted to marry a woman if she's no longer married to him now. That's number one. Number two, by marrying Zainab the Prophet ﷺ confirmed that it's permissible for cousins to get married. It's just basically, not that there was this issue amongst the Arabs, but there's a confirmation in that from this wedding. And we see also that the command came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she was married to the Prophet ﷺ, as we mentioned, like when we said, pay attention to the wording, because Allah says, Zawajnaka, that we wed her to you. So she was married to the Prophet ﷺ by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Zainab radiallahu anha, she used to say something very interesting to the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She used to say, I have the best wali out of all of you and the best messenger. What does that mean, the best wali? Who was her wali? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah was her wali. And everyone else, their father or their uncle becomes their wali. And then she says the best messenger. The messenger is basically the one who will come first with the news or the attempt to get like the people engaged. So the messenger is the one that would come and say, what do you think of so-and-so to marry so-and-so, your daughter? So she's saying, I have the best messenger out of all of you and the best wali. Because her wali was Allah, and the messenger who brought the news of this wedding was Jibreel alayhi salam. So that's how she would show her preference over the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she would also say, Allah preferred my marriage or performed my marriage from above the seven heavens. And she would also tell them, your parents gave you in marriage, and Allah gave from above His throne gave me away in marriage. Usually your parents give the person away in marriage. She's saying, Allah gave me away in marriage from above His throne. So from the other benefits from this wedding also of the Prophet ﷺ to Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, is that some of things related to the rules of visitation were revealed. And this is, of course, there's a lot of benefit in this for us. First of all, the walima, which is like the wedding feast, it was done, and because the place was small, people would come in groups of 10, and they would eat, and then they would leave, and another 10 would come in and eat, and so on and so forth. So what happened? Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, I attended the banquet held, meaning the walima here, the feast or the dinner, held on the occasion of the Prophet's marriage to Zainab bint Jahsh, in which the Prophet himself served us meat and bread. He says, he sent me to invite people. And when he finished, he stood up and I followed him. But some people were busy in conversation and they stayed in the house after the meal. And so the Prophet ﷺ then left and they were still talking for a long time, and they kept talking and talking and talking. And of course the Prophet ﷺ, as you would imagine, was too shy to go and tell them that, you know, that you've overstayed your welcome. He moved on until he came to the apartment of Zainab radiallahu anha, and he says, the narrator says, I also went, I wanted to enter with him, but then the Prophet ﷺ threw a curtain between me and him. Meaning now, this is because the verses of hijab were revealed. Here we're not talking about the hijab like the veil. The verses of hijab here means the partition, like a shield or like kind of a partition between men and the mothers of the believers. From that point on, they would stay behind this barrier. So this was like a barrier. It could be like a thick curtain that's held up or something. And so from that day on, the people would always talk to the mothers of the believers from behind this barrier, even though the mothers of the believers were in full niqab. But people would always talk to them only from behind this barrier. And in the beginning, it was suggested during this, and like we're saying, all these benefits, all these lessons came during this wedding ceremony, where Umar radiallahu anhu, when he entered the house of the Prophet ﷺ, the people, like we said, they would come in, eat and leave, and they could see, obviously, they're well covered and everything, but they could see the mothers of the believers. So Umar said to the Prophet ﷺ, if you would put a barrier, because he's saying, like the good and the righteous and the not righteous will enter upon you and they can see the mothers of the believers. So if you would put a barrier. So he makes a suggestion to the Prophet ﷺ. Now this doesn't mean that Umar radiallahu anhu had more ghira, like more like jealousy over the women than the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet ﷺ would refrain from doing things because if he did it, it would become a part of the religion. So he would always only do it once commanded. So once the ayah of hijab was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ put a barrier, and from that day forward until the death of the mothers of the believers, no man entered upon them or spoke to them, even if they were in full like hijab, except that they were behind a barrier. So Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, she married the Prophet ﷺ in the fifth year after the hijrah. And she was 35. So this is another one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ that was in her mid-30s, while the Prophet ﷺ at this time was 58. So he's almost 60 years old. And the Quran that was revealed during the wedding ceremony is what taught a lot of things. The Prophet ﷺ sacrificed a sheep, and then he invited people, and they all ate. And like we said, these two men continued like chatting, and they just wouldn't leave. And the Prophet ﷺ went out and he said goodnight, and he said he visited all his other wives, and then he came back and these two men were still there sitting and chatting. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't like to criticize them directly or tell them to leave because it was difficult. So he waited patiently until they left. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayat known as the ayat of hijab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إناه ولكن إذا دعيتم فدخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث.
O you who believe, do not go into the Prophet's rooms except after being given permission to come and eat, not waiting for the food to be prepared, but when you are called in, then go in, and when you have eaten, then disperse. So what these ayat mean, we're at the end of our episode, unfortunately. What these ayat mean, we'll have to explain it in the next episode, inshallah, so make sure you don't miss it. Jazakumullah khairan for being an attentive audience. Wa sallallahu wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.